From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to CrozierCast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and with me today is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Got our coffee.
We do. Fully caffeinated and ready to go.
Ready to go. So today we're talking about the election and Catholics, it's sort of, Bishop Olmsted, I think, is a great title for the whole topic, which is Catholics in the Public Square. And get how a Catholic should be involved in, local, not just politics, but in a way being a good social citizen.
Yet I think it's one of the best, if not the best, resource out there right now. This is the fourth edition of this Catholics in the Public Square that Bishop Olmsted has worked on. And this, the fourth edition, includes some things from our Holy Father, Pope Francis. So that's, I think, the need for the fourth edition and the update. Similarly to Faithful Citizenship, the USCCB puts out, especially prior to a major election year, and in that we've updated it as a conference, and we've added some of the things, really important things, that our Holy Father Pope Francis has talked about. But I think that Catholics in the Public Square, every Catholic should read it. It's excellent.
Yeah. So could you break it down a little bit for us? I mean, this... I don't know, you could probably talk to 100 people, and I bet all of them would agree that this is one of the toughest elections that we've ever seen. And not just, we like to all focus on the presidential election, but just kind of some people maybe feel a little down about the state of America in general. But could you walk us through, as a bishop, what are some things you'd like Catholic citizens to keep in mind?
Well, I think when you talk about difficult, in terms of difficult election, and not just presidential, but even on the state level, on the local level, I would say one of the things that contributes to this is our environment or our culture is really gives into the attack on the individual, and the attack on the individual's character, and the attack on the individual's personal life. We turn things into argumentum ad hominem. We attack the individual, as opposed to speaking about the issue and discussing about the issue and having a civil discourse. And so I think that's one of the things that's made this election so difficult nationally as well as locally, because that's so much a part of our culture. And really at the heart of that is a lack of charity. St. Paul speaks about that. We're all familiar with that letter, that we hear it usually at weddings, right? 1 Corinthians 12, following into 13, when he talks about the most important of all virtues is love. And, he says, if I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I think that really sums up quite a bit of the rhetoric that we're hearing in this election, again, nationally, locally. That's really crept into our culture. So I would say in our culture, in our society, what we really need is a really heavy dose of love, love in the truest sense, which means willing the good of the other. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons why people might be a little discouraged. I myself am discouraged, because it takes our focus off on real issues and talking about real issues. And when we don't have a good discussion on real issues, then what happens is nothing happens. And if we have things such as legalized abortion in our land, then we don't really have an opportunity to discuss why legalized abortion is wrong and always wrong, and what we can do in order to overcome it. So, I think that's one of the things. And then, I think we really approaching any sort of election, again, national or local election, we want to make sure that we're approaching it from our faith. So it's a faith-based decision that we make, which means we have to have our consciences that are properly formed. So we allow the teachings of our church, that which we come to know in sacred tradition, in sacred scripture, that's which we come to know through the natural law. We allow that, we study it, and we allow it to form our consciences so we can make a good and proper decision. I think sometimes people say, well, I'm going to go ahead and act according to my conscience, when their conscience hasn't been properly formed. And so they might be acting what they think by their conscience, but their conscience has been maybe been formed by the world. And so we want to make sure we're opening ourselves up to good teaching, study well, and so we can make good, properly informed decision.
Could you walk us through, for a lot of Catholics might know this already, but maybe some don't. What are some of the, you mentioned issues, what are some of the big issues that the church might ask us to look at when approaching an election?
Well, I think the biggest issue, the most important issue for us is always life. As Pope Francis says, life is our most precious resource. You know, he speaks about the environment, he speaks about resources, and Pope Francis says our most precious resource is the gift of human life, because we are all created in the image and likeness of God. That's something that's an inherent gift that we are given to us by our loving and merciful God. And so that has to be our starting point for everything. So we look at things, acts, which we would say are intrinsically evil acts, meaning an act that can never be justified as right, an act that is always wrong. So for example, the big one would be abortion. Abortion is an act that is always wrong. It's an intrinsically evil act. And so we can never give in to that. And we, as good and faithful Catholics, good and faithful Christians, we have to be able to do whatever we can to not promote that, not condone it, right? We want to make sure that we avoid that at all costs. Other things in the life arena, which are really important too, that go along in that intrinsically evil act, would be like a physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia, right? That seems to really be picking up speed in our land, and the reason is because we live in what Pope St. John Paul II called the culture of death, and we can't give over to that. We can't promote it. We have to be promoting the gospel of life, because that's what God was about, and that's what we must be about, because we're created in his image and likeness. Now, other things that would be considered an intrinsically evil act would be the use of artificial contraception. Pope Paul VI wrote and spoke about that beautifully in Humanae Vitae in 1968. And unfortunately, it was a document that kind of fell by the wayside, but it's really an encyclical that we really need to recapture, because it talks about the gift and the transmission of human life. Again, even looking at that word gift, it's not something we come up on our own. It's something that's given to us by our loving God. So we have things like that. So we have acts that we would say, these are intrinsically evil acts, an act that's always wrong. But then we have other acts that we would say that are left up to prudential judgment. For example, one of the big issues in our country is immigration. And it seems that we talk a lot about immigration and fixing a system that I think we could all agree that it's broken. But because we talk a lot about it, and because we're in this argumentum ad hominem, we never really get at the real issue. We never really are able to take a look at, you know, maybe what the problem is, and here's some solutions. And so that would be what we would say, that's something that's left up to prudential judgment. We would all be able to say that it needs to be fixed and something we need to be worked on, but we might be able to come at it from different angles. One person might say, well, I see this as a solution. Another person might say, well, I see this as a solution, or about this as a solution. You know, they might all be right, or they might all be wrong, or a little bit of both. So, you know, how we take care of the poor, that's important. I think we can all agree on that too, that the poor must always be taken care of, as Jesus tells us. They'll always be with us, and when we serve the poor, it's Christ himself who we serve. And there are different ways in serving the poor. Here in our own diocese, I think we've got a great example of how the poor served in the Missionaries of Charity, who carry on the legacy of the work of now St. Teresa of Calcutta. So,
when it goes back to what you were saying a little bit earlier, with some of these that are a little more prudential, you know, always coming back to the idea of love acting in what is the way that's most loving.
It's our starting point. When everything passes away, what do we have? We have love, as Paul says. So it's our starting point. It's our middle point. It's our end point. It always has to be love, and a true and genuine love. And Thomas says love is willing the good of the other. So we have to desire this for someone else, but we also have to know what the good is. And we talk about life, then the good is protecting life. It's respecting life. It's acknowledging the inherent dignity that we all have because we're creating the image and likeness of our loving God.
How would you answer? I mean, I think probably at some point every Catholic has heard this. And I mean, it was even said back when I think John F. Kennedy was running for president. There's a lot of criticism from people that say, you know, a church shouldn't interfere in politics, or, you know, letting, you know, we have separation of church and state for a reason. And so if there's a candidate who's Catholic or something, then that's suspicious because they should be held accountable to the American people above all and not whatever their religious beliefs are. So what advice do you have for people when they hear these criticisms that the Catholic Church has no place in politics?
Well, I think it's ridiculous, first of all.
I don't think that's a surprising answer.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is ridiculous. You know, we all have, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a person who's able to vote. And so when I'm going to cast my vote, I'm going to cast my vote having been my conscience properly formed by those things which are good and true and beautiful. And I open myself up to that which has been revealed to us as true by our loving God. And I have my conscience formed, as I said, through sacred scripture, through sacred tradition, through the natural law, to things which have been revealed to us as true by our loving God. And I think that voice, though, when people say things like that, I think that's a way of silencing these eternal truths. And what happens when we do those things is then we end up with the spirit of this world, right? We end up with the things which aren't true, which aren't good, which aren't beautiful.
Which are often fickle, too. They can change from one year to the next.
They change, yeah, yeah. So I would say I strongly disagree when I hear that. And I think that's a way of trying to silence someone's voice, silence the voice of members of the church. Or I think it's also a way of trying to confuse people too. So it does kind of create a bit of confusion. But for a Catholic, and I speak as a Catholic bishop, the shepherd in the Diocese of Gallup, you know, I would say that I would encourage all of the members of our diocese to study the issues and to make a good informed decision, and a decision that's informed based upon your Catholic faith. Again, tradition, scripture, natural law, all these wonderful things that we have access to. And two great resources for that are the Faithful Citizenship, the document that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has, which is online, and it speaks of forming one's conscience. You know, we don't tell people how to vote. What we do is we respect their individual freedom, and we form their conscience through the things which are true, and we trust that they are able to make a good and informed decision. And then the other is my favorite. I just love to read this, and I'm happy we have the fourth edition. That's Catholics in the Public Square by my good friend Bishop Olmsted, the bishop in the Diocese of Phoenix.
Yeah. And could we? I think a lot of times, again, it kind of all comes back to the idea of mercy, the way you alluded to earlier. We get focused on one specific aspect of something, and I think a lot of our energy is spent looking at the presidential election. But it's not just that; it's also there's Congress and the Senate and local and state and city elections too. So coming from kind of a shepherd standpoint, that these are just as important as well?
They're very important. And I think what happens is because this has probably been one of the most difficult elections concerning our presidency for a number of different reasons. But I think a lot of it has to go with you know, personal beliefs of the candidates, this continued assault upon one another, and really kind of avoiding speaking about the issues and speaking about them in a good and in a coherent manner. So I think that's one of the difficulties. So sometimes we hear people say, I'm just not going to vote. And when we make a decision like that, what we're also choosing is, I'm not going to vote in state elections. I'm not going to vote in local elections. So there's other things that we are able to vote on in order to participate, to be a good and a faithful citizen of our country. And I think if we have a good, properly formed conscience, we don't want to lose that vote. We want to make sure that that vote and that voice is heard in the election. Sometimes you can look at something. So, for example, you can look at, you have two candidates running for the same office, and both candidates are strongly pro-death or strongly pro-abortion. And a Catholic might say, I really can't agree with either of these, so I'm not going to cast my vote for either one of these people. But there are other elections, there are other things that might be decided in that election, so we're able to cast our vote in those other things as well.
If there are Catholics who maybe are running for office, or they've decided to step up and get involved in some kind of political office, what sort of advice would you have them keep in mind?
I think the same advice that we would want to have anyone who's even casting a vote is to act according to your conscience, but act according to a properly informed conscience, and to not let your voice be squelched or kind of beaten down because of some of these voices that say, well, you're just saying that simply because you're Catholic. You're simply saying that because, you know, the Pope says that you have to do that. But as I said, we help to form consciences, and we respect an individual's freedom. And in respecting their freedom, we hope that they're going to act and speak according to the truths that have been revealed to them and the truths that they've embraced. So I'd say for any candidate who's running for anything, we never want to promote anything that's intrinsically evil, an act which is always wrong. I think that's essential. That's so important. And because when we do that, and somebody might see us say perhaps I'm a Catholic and I'm running for a particular office, but then I take a platform such as I'm pro-abortion. I think it's okay to murder a child within his or her mother's womb. And somebody might see me and say, well, that person's Catholic, that's a public figure, and they're taking that stance, and they're saying something as silly as, well, personally, I don't agree with it, but I believe it's a woman's right to choose, and which is a silly statement in itself. And they might see them and they say, well, that must be okay. So then what happens is you are leading others down a road that doesn't lead to eternal life. It's actually a road to ruin. So there's too much. To the one who's given much, much will be required. So I think our public officials, much has been given to them and much is required. And I think that our public officials have to protect our most valuable resource. Our most valuable resource is human life.
And going back to this idea of there's sort of oftentimes we see a lack of love, or the angriest person speaks loudest. What about just regular everyday Catholics who are sometimes afraid to voice their opinions? Not for fear of persecution or anything like that necessarily, but just they're afraid that they might be there might be some prejudice out there, or they might lose a friend or something like that. That for just for speaking up for what they believe to be truth.
Sure, sure. Their voice and their vote counts just as much as the next person, right? We all have one voice. We all have one vote. And I think if we are genuinely speaking the truth, and we're speaking it out of love, you know, we don't want to destroy somebody in an argument. That's a lack of respect for the other person. I think we see that. That in like on Twitter or some of these other things, like, look at so-and-so just got destroyed by so-and-so with just these few words. I think that's a lack of love. And so I think if we're speaking the truth and we're speaking it in love and we desire the genuine good for someone, then we can have confidence in that. And so, you know, to have confidence and to have courageous hearts to be able to speak the truth, especially in the face of opposition that might want to destroy, or opposition that doesn't value the gift of human life.
What about taking that another step further? How should we approach speaking about or acting towards someone who we strongly disagree with? Like, let's say we have one particular candidate or one particular issue that we are strongly against. What is a charitable way to approach criticism? Would you say it's sort of keeping in mind that this is, you know, still a human being on the other end of it, and while it's important to make sure that we stand in opposition to a certain intrinsically evil ideal, we should still approach it in a way that's, loving, in a kind of a loving rebuke in a way.
Sure, sure. Well, I think that kind of goes along with what I've been saying. You know, try not to turn every little argument or every little discussion into a personal attack or assault on the other person, where I say, okay, I want to get my point across, but not only do I want to get my point across, but I want to leave this person in a puddle of themselves, right? That has nothing to do. That's really not respecting the person, the individual. So even if it's something that we, and the one we keep talking about for abortion, even if we're having a discussion, a debate on abortion with somebody, we always want to approach them out of love. Paul says, if I have not love, I'm a noisy gong, clanging cymbal. And if I don't speak in love, I really lose my right to speak. Now, love can also mean we say some really tough things, but we always want to make sure we're speaking in and out of love, always, always.
Do you have any kind of historical perspective on elections? Like, do you think that sometimes certain tough periods or certain good periods can reflect history that we've seen with the church?
Well, I think so. I mean, we look at, I think, in the 1960s, and we see the civil rights movement, which was a very good thing. And because many people in our country, especially people of color, were not being treated equally. I mean, it was very obvious. And I think the church was a strong force in that. I think the person that we see the most is Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., you know, spoke from as a man who was a strong, devout Christian, and did so in a very peaceful manner too, and the church participated in all of that. So I think we were able to see where the church has been a part of that. And then I think we've also seen, and maybe when the church has been able to carry a strong voice, I think in our modern times, when we see maybe more of a secularized environment or a secularized culture, and maybe an increase of people that don't see the importance of the church, or the importance of the voice of the church, or the importance of, you know, the Christian perspective and approach to things, so that the voice of the church might not be as strong. Perhaps we're in one of those times right now, but that doesn't stop us from continuing to preach and speak the truth in and out of season.
I think I have one final question, but before I bring that up, did you have anything as a bishop that you'd like people to keep in mind that we didn't really cover?
Well, I think it's important that when we approach the election, that we don't approach it as a member of this party or that party. We don't give it a rubber stamp because, you know, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. And we just don't get a rubber stamp. We don't go through and say, okay, see, I see R, so I'm going to stamp that, or I see D, I'm going to stamp that. But that we approach it as Catholics, and we approach it as people who have faith, strong faith, and people who believe in the gift and the value of human life, and people who have been properly formed, having our conscience properly formed, so that we can make a good, informed decision. So I would say that's the way to approach the election.
So then my final question would be, sometimes, you know, after hearing a debate or reading an article, we might feel a little bit of that despair or anger or something. Do you have maybe a particular prayer or practice you can recommend?
Well, despair is one of the greatest tools of the devil, or discouragement first, and then he tries to push us in despair. And what is despair? Despair is a lack of hope. And what is hope? Our hope is in the Lord, right, who made heaven and earth. So that's one of the tools of the devil. So don't become discouraged. Don't slip into despair. But really, you know, turn your attention to the one who has the power to save, which is Jesus Christ. And so I'd say, you know, to not to give in to that. But also, you know, pray for everyone who is running for an office. I think the thing that we want to pray for is for a conversion of heart. You know, we never should stop having a conversion of heart until the moment that we die, because we're never completely made through until we come into the kingdom, right? We don't reach perfection until we come to the kingdom, because perfection can only be found in God. And so I'd say pray for the candidates. I think about our two presidential candidates. And what I've started to do is daily pray that they might turn away from anything which they believe or they're a proponent of that's sinful, and that they might turn away from those things and they might embrace the gospel, because God desires that all people come to salvation, even our candidates, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we pray for them, that they can be good, godly people who are not people of the world, but people of God, and people who desire to do the right thing and to truly do the good thing, which is ultimately to love.
Yeah, and I know he didn't, you know, this wasn't the purpose of it, but I think it's interesting that this election is coming during the Year of Mercy, kind of near the end of it. You know, and the Pope wasn't looking at the U.S. election as a reason for that, but in a way it might be kind of an opportunity.
It is an opportunity for mercy. And we reflect upon God's mercy, the gift that he has given to us. And because he's been so merciful and loving toward us, we want to be merciful in turn. So we want to give of ourselves to others. We don't want to obliterate them in our discussion, our debate, or in our conversations with people. But we want to make sure that we're merciful, because our God has been merciful to us.
All right. Any final thoughts before we end it?
Pray, pray, pray. Ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, not only, again, praying for our candidates, but in your decision-making, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your hearts and your minds so that you might make a good decision based upon your faith, with having had a properly informed conscience.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Bishop Wall.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening. This has been Crozier Cast with Bishop James S. Wall in the Diocese of Gallup. We'll see you next week for a brand new episode.